Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Been an interesting week. Monday, I all of a sudden had this sense, oh Lord, we're going to be here this weekend. They're going to expect me to preach. You know, this sense of anxiety hit me, and the Lord said, you remember what you preached yesterday? Well, stop trying and start trusting. I said, oh yeah, that. So anyway, I just kind of said, all right, Lord, it's up to you. And then I had, you know, starting Tuesday, I would say, I had some simple thoughts came to me, a rather different look at a scripture we know, and started thinking about it. And then Wednesday night, we had a good service where a number contributed, and Matt Downing used part of that scripture very well. And then last night, I had no idea what was going to be sung, and you know, we had the song that Kenny Wilkinson sang, which Kenny Yonish wrote, by the way, Come to Me, which is based on that scripture. So I'm going to go ahead and just start there and trust the Lord to bring out something fresh. And that's one of the wonderful things about the Lord, that he can take something that you've known all your life, and then suddenly you see it in a whole different light. And I'll just read this familiar scripture in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, where the Lord says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you know, we've probably heard this preached on dozens of times over the years. And if you're like me, generally we've looked at this scripture in this sense. Okay, the Lord wants me to walk with him, and we have this picture of a yoke where there's room for two animals in the natural. And so Jesus is in one side and we're in the other. We're supposed to, in some mystical way, walk with him, and somehow he's going to teach us secrets of the Christian life or something. And it's all kind of, frankly, it's kind of vague. And yet I believe there's a truth in that. The Lord does want to walk with us, and he does want to teach us and all of that. But suddenly I got to thinking about this, and I realized Jesus said, take my yoke. How many of you ever realized Jesus had a yoke? You ever thought about it that way? Because what was being contrasted was Jesus said, I'm wearing a yoke. You all are wearing yokes, but I'll tell you, yours are going to lead to nothing but being weary and burdened. Let's think about that. Kind of a different way of looking at it, isn't it? But I'll tell you, I believe it's a right way to look at it. And I believe God wants us to learn not just from sort of walking with Jesus now, which we do, but also looking at his earthly life and realizing his life is an example of how God wants us to live in the world. Now, you know, he contrasted it with those who are weary and burdened. And I'll tell you, though, if you don't know it, I think you do, all of the yokes that we encounter, that we experience in this world, will leave us with being nothing but weary and burdened. I mean, just somebody who doesn't seek the Lord at all, but just follows the inclinations of their own natural desires, you know, that the world is full of that. And so it's characterized by all the aspects of human nature. Pride. People run in pride and imagine themselves to be something they're not. There's an independence of spirit. Nobody tells me what to do. My happiness is to be derived from doing what I want and asserting my own will and my own sense of, you know, that I'm self-sufficient. I've got the greatness that I need within me. All I have to do is learn how to draw on it, and I can find happiness. I can find success, self-pleasing. And, of course, I think everybody here realizes it's the carrot and the stick. Right. The devil's going to beat you on the back. You're not measuring up, and he's going to dangle this carrot out in front of you like you can never quite get to it. And the, you know, the scripture tells us the wicked are like the troubled sea. And what's the picture there? It cannot rest. There's no peace. There's nothing that can ever satisfy what people are chasing by trying to follow the inclinations of their human nature. That's a terrible yoke. And it's one the devil has put on us that we willingly take unless God intervenes. And, of course, that yoke leads straight to death, doesn't it? Because following the inclinations of your heart, which are desires that are contrary to what God has designed us for, that's what sin really is. It's a violation of his love and his design. We use these desires that are good in themselves, but we use them in selfish ways that are destructive. And so, you know, sin, lust conceives sin. Sin leads to death. So it's not only a terrible end, it's a terrible way to live. And there is no satisfaction whatever in that. But you know, there's another yoke that Jesus was talking about and dealing with. His mission was to the nation of Israel, wasn't it? God was fulfilling promises that had been given to Israel, and so the first order of business in bringing out the eternal salvation was to deal with Israel. But what was happening? What had happened in Israel? You know, James, later on in the discussions of what was going to happen or what they needed to do in the light of the fact that people were going around, Jews were going around to Gentiles saying, you got to live under the law. His comment was, this was a yoke that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. God never gave the law, and we've said this many times, God never gave the law as a pathway to salvation. It was meant to teach you and me that we need salvation. That's it. All it does, in fact, it makes the problem of sin worse. It's one thing just to live ignorantly according to my nature. It's another thing when God says, that's wrong, and my nature rises up and say, oh no, it's not. I'm going to do it anyway. Now sin becomes a bigger issue. It takes a stronger hold in the life. And God sent the law to magnify sin, to really show us the real deal so that he could begin to deal with it. But I'll tell you, if to the extent that we are trying to somehow attain into anything, to any kind of relationship with God, by any form of self-effort, of course you've never heard this before, right? I don't know, it's something that the Lord is trying to make real to me, because I'll tell you, we have so much more self-effort than we dare realize. Oh, how much that we do is just us trying to somehow be. We try so desperately to be Christians. And that's not God's way. That's religion's yoke. It's a yoke that we construct because we're not really just taking what he has given to us and living it out. I mean, you know, Monday was a perfect example. Here I am. Okay, I've got to preach. Ah! My natural inclination was to be anxious about it. Nobody here has that problem, right? Yeah. But I'll tell you, that's a terrible yoke. And any form of religion is a terrible yoke because I don't care what you do, you never can attain anything. But yet we feel like we got to be the hamster on the wheel and just keep, you know, try harder, run faster. And you go nowhere faster. And wear yourself out. But oh, I'll tell you, there was something in the heart of God that sent his son to this world, not only to bring us a different way to live, but to model it. Jesus came to earth to wear a certain yoke. Okay? Now, some of the characteristics of this are very simple. Let's turn to Philippians 2, another familiar scripture. But I don't know, all week I've just been meditating on this, seeing this in this different light, and it's really, it's meant something to me. I hope it does to others. But Philippians chapter 2, where Paul is describing talking about the issue of humility. Well, one characteristic of Jesus' yoke is humility, isn't it? Okay? And so it says, your attitude, verse 5, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Isn't that amazing? Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So it's not enough just to come down. You know, he could have come to earth, but come as somebody important. Oh, my, you need to carry me on a litter like a king. You need to bow down to me. I'm somebody. He didn't do that. He came down to be the most humble of the humble, to absolutely model what God is after from every single one of us. Okay? He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But humility was a characteristic of the life of Jesus. Now, how many of us think of humility almost as an act? I see a few heads tentatively nodding. It's almost like, oh, I'm supposed to be humble. Oh. When we're really not. But I'll tell you the one thing about the humility of Jesus. It was founded in fact. It was not an act. It was something where he came to a place, and it was a place he understood. You know, we live with so much misinformation, wrong ideas. We have it comes from our nature, this sense of pride. It so infects everything that we think about ourselves. Oh, my God, we look at somebody and you say, well, I thank God I'm not like them. We don't say that, but that's kind of how we feel. You know I'm a sinner, but, you know, God, I'm not as bad as all that. There's some good in me. If you think that, you got another think coming. God's going to have to deal with all of that. And it's not to bring us down to a place where we grovel and act humble. It's to the place where we understand our place in God's place. And it simply is a statement of fact. I'm not God. I'm not like him. I don't occupy a place where I can look to the inside and take pride in who and what I am. Jesus came to such a place of genuine a relationship, a place of humility. And not only did he do that, I don't think he was acting, do you? I think he did everything exactly in harmony with God's place and God's purpose. And what did he do in John chapter 13? We don't have to turn over there, but Jesus is meeting with the disciples for the Last Supper. And what did he do when the supper was over? Oh, my. He not only just washed their feet, he took off his outer garments and was there in the place. He looked like a servant. Do you think that was just a little act? Hey, I'm really somebody, but I'm just going to act real humble here. No, I believe there was a genuine place that God had ordained for his son to take that was meant to be a model for you and me. My God, if he did that, should we not serve one another in love? Is that not the message of that passage?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.